Ephesians chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or the devices of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If you just took the first part of that verse, Satan uses people to hurt you like God uses people to bless you. But there is no such thing as flesh and blood that you're to fight against. You say, well, so-and-so hurt me. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's important to understand that. But against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, then we're told once again, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Here we go. Now he's going to list the armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now the armor of God is mentioned in other scripture, but the whole armor of God and what it consists of, this is the only place in your Bible that lists it and tells you to wear it, make sure you got it on. This is an important part of the Christian life. When you read your Bible, when you see these pieces of armor, if I said, what is this? It should mean something to you. The first part of your armor that you're supposed to wear that God tells us the first thing to put on, it doesn't say it's the most important. It says the first thing to put on is make sure your loins are girt with truth. What does this mean? First of all, where are your loins? Your loins, definition, is from the lower rib to the top of the hip. This area in here, this is where what they call viscera, or your innards, or street term, guts. Got a gut feeling? Or my stomach feels queasy, or I feel nervous, or what other people say when they get emotional. I have butterflies. They're saying that I feel funny here. Your emotions affect your loins. This is also the most unprotected part of your body. Your lungs have bones, right? A rib cage. There's bones here. There's no bones in between the skin and your intestine or your stomach. So this is what you would call a very vulnerable part of your body. God says the first thing you're supposed to do as a Christian is girt this area with truth. What is truth? Truth's the Bible, the Word of God. As a Christian, you either let the Bible control your decisions or you let your emotions control your decisions. And an emotionally controlled Christian does this. They're not like this. They can't. God says your emotions and your feelings and your opinions are never supposed to make your decisions. Principles, Bible principles are supposed to make my decisions. Living by truth, not my emotion. The Bible says your heart will lie to you. Our heart, Jeremiah 17:9, is desperate. Not just wicked, it's desperately wicked. That means it's reaching for wrong. I can't trust my heart. When I was dealing in the school and I was dealing with teenagers, I can't make a call. If I say no talking in class, it doesn't matter if this one's my favorite and this one's the one I give demerits to every day. If you talk, you get demerits. That was the law. That's what I established. I cannot emotionally make decisions. Well, I like you, so, well, you know, your dad's in the choir, and I got choir practice this week, so I want to have a good time. So I had to put all of that out of my mind. The emotion had to leave. That's true for every decision. As a Christian, God says the first piece of armor you put on is you gird your emotions, get your emotions under control, and gird them or put the belt on, click. It's a big belt. It's not like what we wear. An inch wide. It's a big belt that holds in. You could almost think of a weightlifting belt. Have your loins girt about with truth. God says the next thing to put on, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. If I ask you, what's the breastplate of righteousness? Your breastplate protects your heart. This isn't talking about the righteousness you got from God that saved you. This is talking about what strengthens you against the enemy is your righteousness. What do you do for God? Your Bible time, your prayer time, your soul winning, your church attendance, all of that, your righteousness is a breastplate. That's why there needs to be some things that are set in a Christian's life. I don't know when I'm getting attacked by the devil. I'm trying to fortify myself so that when I am attacked, I can withstand the attack. Your breastplate of righteousness is your works that you do for God, where you serve. Every Christian needs something they do for God. Amen? They need something where they give of themselves. That's your righteousness. Your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. It's interesting. If you're going to put on the gospel, the armor, you don't just have on the gospel. In other words, the gospel is death, burial, and resurrection. But you have on the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yesterday, we went soul winning. Had a wonderful time. Brother Butler and I went out. We had somebody saved. It was awesome. First door we knocked on. Brother and Mrs. Norfolk. First door they knocked on. Awesome. Glory to God. Yesterday, we set aside a time for soul winning. It was from 10 to 12. But I'm supposed to be prepared to give the gospel all the time. Sometimes I'll have somebody walk in. You say, well, that's because you're the pastor. What about at your job? What about when you're out and about? What about when you see somebody with a need and God leads you across their path? You're supposed to be prepared to give the gospel. That's part of the armor. And study your Bible so that you can give an answer, Colossians, to every man that asketh you a hope that lies within you. So to be studied and to be prepared, I'm preparing. That's the feet shod with the gospel of peace. And verse 16, above all, take in the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. God says of all the armor, the most important thing, above all, if you could only wear one piece, take the shield of faith. Because as the devil attacks you and sends fiery darts of doubt, that's what he does. If he can get you not to believe the Bible, then you don't have to live the Bible. Because you only live what you believe. I can tell what you believe by how you live. Because you live what you believe. And if you don't believe it, you don't live it. So the devil sends fiery darts of doubt, and how do you handle those? Faith. I believe the book. Regardless of how I, praise God, how I feel, I believe the book. Fiery darts are quenched by your faith or trust in the Lord. So above all, take that shield of faith, then put on the helmet of salvation. What's that? That brain bucket, like we called it in the Marine Corps, protects your thought process and how you're supposed to know you're saved. And if you aren't, you're a miserable Christian. Praise God. I'm so glad once you're saved, you can't lose it. Amen? I'm so glad it's not saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost. Look, if you could lose your salvation and God erased your name every time you sinned, my name would have a hole in the paper. Amen? In the book of life. The helmet of salvation is you knowing you're saved. And I know I'm going to heaven. I got it settled. My date is June 7th, 1986. I know I'm saved. It's not in question. I have on my helmet of salvation. I know I'm saved. Notice this about the armor. In 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pieces, you have 5 pieces that are your defense. This is what you protect. This is what protects you. You have 2 pieces of the armor that God gives you that you fight with. Yes, I know you can fight with the sword, the shield, but the shield is meant to protect you. You're given the sword of the Spirit. Look at verse 18. Ready? I'm sorry, look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You only have 2 weapons to fight with. To fight what? To fight yourself and the devil. When you want to do wrong, you have 1 weapon to fight you with, your flesh. And you have 1 weapon to fight the devil with. You should be praying. It's a lot like this. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. But it doesn't become the sword until you unsheath it. Shing. When you open it up. All right. The Word of God becomes pointed like a sword when you use it. The Catholic teaching is this. If you have a family Bible on your table in your living room, it's a good luck charm. I just asked a person yesterday. I said, has anybody ever taken the Bible and shown you how to get your sins forgiven? And the person looked right at me and said, oh, I have a Bible. My dad gave it to me. And I said, listen to the question. I didn't ask you if you had a Bible. I said, has anybody ever taken that Bible and shown you how to get your sins forgiven? He goes, well no. I said, that you having a Bible doesn't make your sin. That's what he was thinking. Well, I got a Bible, so my sins must be forgiven. It's not a sword until you open it, shing, and apply it to your life. The Bible applied is the sword. Now, Why is that important? Today's lesson is on the sword of the Spirit. And if I told you, we're going to send you into battle.
Really?
Yeah, I got a bad enemy out there. Well, how many? Oh, troops are unnumbered. What kind of weapons they got? Oh, they got everything. Cannons, howitzers, rifles, pistols. Oh, it's awful. Really? What are you giving me to fight that enemy with? One knife. This is it. Well, yeah, two knives? No, you get one. To fight the whole... Yeah, you get one. Okay, if I told you this is all you get to fight the enemy with. The illustration's good. If you only had one thing to fight the devil with, would you sharpen it? Would you learn how to use it like an extension of your hand? You'd learn it real good if this is all you had to fight the enemy with. Yet the average Christian doesn't have a working knowledge of their Bible. It is your weapon that you're to use against the devil. That's why I hope Wednesday night Bible studies, amen, the preaching, we're going to cover a lot of scripture this morning. I'm going to take you all the way through the Bible. You say, what's your purpose, Pastor? I hope you take the sermon home with you, amen. But I'm trying to give you a working knowledge of your Bible. I'm trying to show you your Bible so you can use it. I'm not trying to show you what I know. I'm trying to give you something to take home. Because that Bible is what you have to fight the devil with. And it fights you. Now, Christian, you need to spend time reading it. You need to spend time learning it. You say, why? Because it's your weapon. Go to Psalm 149. Your Bible is a sword. There's no substitute for a Bible that's tangible. Does everybody understand? I have a Bible on my phone. I have it. I've got a Bible on my computer. I got a Bible on my tablet. But there's no substitute for this. And I preached a message a couple years ago. It says, don't ever replace your Bible with an iPad or a phone. The main reason is this. When they determine that this book is hate speech, it's coming. It's not there yet. I'm glad it's not. But when they determine the Bible's hate speech because it speaks against homosexuals and they want to take your Bible, if you have it on your phone, they can delete it in one push of a button. No, they take my Bible. They got to come to my door. Amen. I don't want no push of the button deleting it from the cloud type garbage. There's no substitute for a Bible that you have in your hands. You understand? I'll use my phone when I text everybody, you know, if I want to send you a Bible verse. Amen? I can do that. But there's no substitute for this. Don't ever let anything substitute for it. Psalm 149, verse number 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And watch this, a two-edged sword in their hand. Well, you say, well, that was in the 1600s when God gave us the King James Bible and they walked around nights, you know, with swords and that was their... Well, okay, you know, you're not supposed to walk around with a... Yeah, I guess if you want to, you can. I think every boy ought to have a pocket knife, amen? Or two or three of them. You ought to have a mini sword in your car, amen? No, I don't think you need to walk around with it. I think you do need... According to the Bible, to have the Bible everywhere you go. You ought to have your Bible at work. You ought to have your Bible at your desk. You ought to have a Bible in your purse, ladies. You ought to carry your Bible with you. Let a two-edged sword. You ought to be praising God and have the Bible with you all the time. All the time. It ought to be accessible to you. I know as a teacher, they always told us, put your Bible on your desk. Even if you're teaching in public school, it doesn't make any difference. Put your Bible on your desk. Let it be seen. Let a two-edged sword be in their hand. Notice what happens. I like the rest of this, and we'll continue. Look at verse 7. How come? There's a semicolon there at the end of verse 6. It says, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, colon, semicolon, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. And then notice the last phrase of the psalm, this honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. That's your honor. When you praise God, God executes vengeance on the heathen. That's why you praise God. Amen. Good verse. Have a Bible in your hand. The Bible is the sword. Your Bible is your sword. And go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When the Bible says the Word of God is quick, what's the word quick mean in your King James Bible? Alive. Living. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is your sword. In 2 Samuel 23, speaks of Eleazar, one of David's mighty men, and he fought all day. It says at the end of the day, they tried to take the sword from his hand, and his hand clave to the sword. The word cleave means, same thing it means, a husband and wife are supposed to cleave to each other. It means separation brings damage to both. Amen. His hand clave to the sword. That means after a day of fighting, they had to pry that man's fingers away from his sword. You say, what's the application? Spiritually, you're supposed to spiritualize it. Your hand is supposed to cleave to your sword. It needs to be, you need to have your Bible with you all the time. You need to have access to, because you say, why? Because it's what we fight with. Word of God is supposed to use to be, fight particular sins and temptations. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 17:4, and then I'm going to show you some things. If you could be offered a room full of gold or a Bible, and if you chose the room full of gold, you could never look at the Bible again, would you choose a Bible? How precious is your Bible to you? Your Bible should be precious to you. It should be something that you long for and hunger for. Look at Psalm 17, verse 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, what a verse, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. That word of God is your weapon. And it is that book and what you do with it and how you read it and how you love it that determines how you're protected from the paths of Satan. It protects you. That book should be your life. Amen? Nobody makes too much of it. Go to chapter 19. Look at verse 7 and look at all the descriptions of what the Bible is. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony or the Bible, a testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, that's the Bible, are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, that's the Bible, is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord, that's another name for the Bible, is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, there's the Bible again, are true and righteous altogether. Verse 10, here's that verse. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. What a verse. Go to 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The more you memorize the Bible and the more you use God's word, the more it strengthens you against sin. Once again, it's your weapon that you fight the devil and yourself with. Watch this. Look at verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The more you read the Bible, the more it cleanses you. Now, God says His Word is supposed to be your life. Look at verse 97. You're in Psalm 119. Look at verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. God, I love your Word. When my mind's free to think about what it wants to think about, I think about your Word. Amen? That's safe. That's safe for a Christian. Do you realize, according to John 6:63, James 1:18, 1 Peter 1:22 to 25, God says you're born again of that book. What saved you is that book. You're born again of the Bible. What's beautiful, once you look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, Luke 18:11, the Bible plainly says the seed is the Word of God. It's just wonderful for you to know about your Bible. The same book that saved you is the same book that feeds you after you get saved. I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Job 23, verse 12. I consider reading my Bible more important than eating my physical food. That's what Job 23, 12 says. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Peter 2:2. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Your Bible is supposed to be precious to you. If you struggle with hanging around the wrong crowd, you need to know Proverbs 13:20, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The wrong crowd will kill you. That's a promise of God. So you need Bible to reinforce. If you struggle with cussing or smoking or what verse can you use to battle lust? What reminds you not to look at a woman in a bad way? If any man look upon a woman to lust after her in his heart, he hath committed adultery. Matthew 5:28. Jesus said, don't look at ladies that way. Well, you got to have a Bible verse to fight that, to do what? To clean up your mind. Amen? All these wrong music, verses on anger, bitterness, burning out, all these, put a whole bunch in here, and I knew we wouldn't be able to cover. If worry, look at the last one. Worry, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I only worry to the degree that I don't let God guide my life. And to the degree He guides it, I don't worry. I don't want, because I trust He'll take care of it. Amen? You gotta have Bible verses to fight the wrong. How do you fight gossip? Talking about things that you shouldn't talk about. Gotta have Bible verses.